I have a proven track record of many firsts, and this work on the Tavistock Institute is another such first in my series on major organizations behind the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, and the Trilateral Commission, and many other organizations and individuals whose names will be new to most of us. Tavistock is the most important control nerve center of the United States of America, and it has poisoned and gradually altered for the worse every facet of our lives since 1938, when it began its United States operation. The proper title for this institution is the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. It is located in London, England. Tavistock works in conjunction with research facilities of the University of Sussex, also in England. This brainwashing facility has played and is playing a major role in shaping United States policies and world events. It is the mother of all mind conditioning and brainwashing institutions in the world. In the United States, it has a great deal to say about day-to-day affairs of American think tanks such as Stanford Research, Esalen, Wharton School, MIT, the Hudson Institute, the Heritage Foundation, and Georgetown University, which university provides all the personnel for the United States State Department. The foregoing think tanks and organizations plan and control what passes for our domestic and foreign policy, and they receive their instructions from Tavistock. When we think of Tavistock, Brigadier General John Rawlings Rees, who founded it in 1921, comes to mind. Few people outside intelligence and British United States psychological associations know anything about Tavistock. Before I began writing about it, no one had ever mentioned or seen its name in print in this country. Rees established Tavistock for the SIS, the Special Intelligence Service, an ultra-elite arm of British intelligence upon which the James Bond fiction series is based. Tavistock is a study center devoted to the service of the black nobility and the lunatics promoting the one world government idea, which had its beginning in the order of Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati. Tavistock does research for the Club of Rome, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the German Marshall Fund, the Mont Pelerin Society, the Ditchley Group, the Quattro Coronati Lodge, the Bank of International Settlements, and even does papers for the Soviet Union. There are a few in the publishing world who are catching on to changes being forced upon the United States by Tavistock. In an article in Esquire magazine, while not mentioning Tavistock by name, they, the Esquire article, allude to it. Here is what the article said. During the social revolutions of the 60s and 70s, most of the rituals of personal interaction were altered. Naturally, these changes have affected the way we perceive the future. It talks about the future of America and then goes on to say, and I quote, "The economic base of America is changing and new services and products are being offered," unquote. Then it talks about our professional lives, leisure time, and educational systems being altered. And more importantly, it mentions altering the thinking of our children. It concludes that, and I quote, "America is being transformed as to the direction it will take in the future," unquote. Esquire now promises to show us in the future issues how thinkers and planners are approaching the world of the 80s and 90s with innovative ideas and new solutions to old problems. At least that is what they say. I quote from them again. Occasionally our new American section, that is what they promise in their forthcoming issues, won't seem so new, since much of the new thinking has been creeping into the mainstreams of American life. But until now, it has gone unnoticed. End of quote. Significantly, there is a sketch of America bound with ropes. Tavistock was founded as a research foundation for British secret intelligence, later called Special Intelligence Service. If we were to single out several individuals who shaped Tavistock policies, we have to begin with its founder, Brigadier General John Rawlings Rees. It was Rees who evolved Tavistock's methods of mass brainwashing. In the United States, we tend to think in terms of the Soviet Union, Korea, and Vietnam. and perhaps other Eastern races when the term brainwashing is mentioned. But it was at Tavistock that the classical methods widely used on United States servicemen during the Korean War were developed. Much time and effort was spent in bringing brainwashing to the attention of the American public. It was Reese who launched the brainwashing campaign, which continues through to this day. And it was from Reese that the Soviet Union, the Koreans, and the Vietnamese took lessons. Reese taught them all they know about how to brainwash individuals, or a mass of people. Reese was a close friend and confidant of the late Margaret Mead and her husband Gregory Bateson, both of whom played a major role in shaping United States institutions that later made government policy. Reese was also an intimate friend of Kurt Lewin, a Jewish refugee from Germany who left when it became apparent that Hitler's NSDP would control Germany. Lewin became Tavistock's director in 1932 and played a major and decisive role in preparing America for entry into the Second World War, organizing and utilizing probably the greatest propaganda machine known to mankind, directed against Germany and the American people, whipping up a frenzy of hatred for Germany. And I would say in parenthesis, we see President Bush doing exactly the same thing today, trying to whip up hatred for Iraq, which has not done this country any harm at all. Reese's discovery was this: the same psychotherapy techniques applied to cure a sick individual could be adapted to make healthy people become sick, that is, ill. Reese began his long series of experiments in the 1930s using British Army soldiers as test cases. From there, Reese progressed to develop Tavistock's mass brainwashing techniques, which he later applied to countries targeted for change. The United States was and still is Tavistock's principal targeted country. We in the United States have been under heavy behavior modification assault for the past 46 years, as I disclosed in my tape series on the cult movements, yet few of us are aware of this serious danger to our national life. Reese established the British Army Psychological Warfare Bureau at Tavistock, and through a secret Churchill-Roosevelt agreement in 1938, made even before Churchill became Prime Minister, gave British Special Operations Executive, commonly known as SOE, control over the policies of the United States armed forces through civilian channels, which became United States government policies. This arrangement is still in place today in 1990. As unacceptable as it is to patriotic Americans, it is nonetheless a fact of life. It was the discovery of this arrangement which led Eisenhower, after Tavistock dumped him, to issue his historical warning about power accumulated in the hands of what he called the military-industrial complex. Tavistock is an even greater threat to America today than it was during Eisenhower's bankrupt presidency. So that we fully understand the power and the influence of Tavistock in the daily political life, social, religious, and economic life of the United States, let me explain that Tavistock's second-in-command, Kurt Lewin, founded the following American institutions in conjunction with Reese. These institutions shaped the course of events not only in the United States, but around the world. The Harvard Psychological Clinic, the Massachusetts Institute for Technology, MIT, the Committee on National Morale, RAND Corporation, the National Defense Resource Council, the National Institute for Mental Health, the National Training Laboratories, Stanford Research Institute, the Wharton School of Economics. Lewin selected key personnel for these highly prestigious research institutions, including all personnel for Esalen and the RAND Corporation. The United States Air Force has always been under the domination of the RAND Corporation. It was through these institutions that the treasonous, infamous MKUltra project, a 20-year experiment with LSD and so-called mind-altering drugs, was carried out under the auspices of the decadent Aldous Huxley and the ban-the-bomb guru Bertrand Russell. on behalf of the Central Intelligence Agency, Lewin, Huxley, and Russell did indescribable damage to the youth of America, damage from which we as a nation will probably never recover. This horrible drug experiment was carried out from Stanford and other locations such as McGill University, Bethesda Naval Hospital, the U.S. Army locations around the United States. As I said in an earlier message, the growing movement known as New Age has us under severe attack. The correct title for this conspiracy is The Age of Aquarius. It is not the New Age. Tavistock was the author and promoter of both of these conspiracies. Reese perfected mass brainwashing using stress tests or psychological shocks. The Reese theory was that if entire populations could be subjected to stress, then it should be possible to work out in advance what mass population response would be to given stress events. In this manner, using many large groups on which Reese tested his theory, he developed tools for literally driving whole communities mad. These changing times experiments were used on unsuspecting groups, like the victims of the MKUltra experiment, given LSD without their consent and knowledge, only woke up to the fact that they had been tampered with many years later. Reese proved that people could be made to think, quote, times were changing, unquote, as some sort of a natural occurrence, whereas what was happening was that people had succumbed to Reese's changing time syndrome. The parrot cry, times are changing and we must change with it, was a maladaptive response. Nowhere was the syndrome more successfully applied than in South Africa, where a whole nation threw away its history and its future following the declaration by Prime Minister P.W. Botha, and I quote, change or perish and adapt or die, quotations from Botha's speeches. Thus Reese's methods of, quote, working out responses in advance, unquote, was proved to be highly successful in South Africa. We have a duty to put an end to this insidious warfare being conducted against us by Reese and his fellow scientists. We must end maladaptive responses to social, economic, political, religious, and moral changes being so naively accepted by mass population groups. These changes are not inevitable, as we have been led to believe. We need to come to the realization that we have endured 30 years of conditioning. Once the truth of what has happened, and indeed is still happening, dawns on us, we will dig in our heels and resist this insidious assault with all the God-given strength that we can muster. One of the major tasks facing us is how to disseminate this powerful message which I have prepared for our people, which will make us realize that forced opinion-altering experiments have altered the way in which we have responded or not responded to social changes which we know to be wrong, such as acceptance of homosexuality, abortion and lesbianism, rock and roll music, and political changes brought about through major and hopelessly wrong foreign policy changes, such as we have seen emerge since the close of the Second World War. Reese became confident enough to take his mind control experiments out of the confines of the British Army, where his theories had been applied with astonishing success. It is not difficult to see why Reese has been so successful. Consider the fact that 99% of his subjects had no inkling that their minds were being tampered with. No one knew that they had been brainwashed. That is how insidious this warfare against us is. In this great country, we likewise are unaware that we have been the target for a campaign of unremitting psychological warfare for the past 30 years, a state of war in which we, the people of the United States, have been unwilling and unwitting participants. This war has worn down our resistance to change to the point where resistance to change is at its lowest ebb. Just as saturation bombing of German worker housing brought Germany to its knees, So saturation bombing of America by Reese Tavistock brainwashing has brought this country to its knees. Just prior to the Second World War, Reese was joined at Tavistock by H.V. Dix, W.R. Bion, and Richard Crosman, who today are recognized as the top brainwashing specialists in the world. Crosman, because of his expertise, became a cabinet member of the Churchill government. This is why Churchill was able to make such powerful emotional speeches which swayed millions throughout the world. Churchill was the worst war criminal ever to walk this earth. Yet Reese's mass conditioning methods caused the world to perceive Churchill as a great hero. In Churchill can be seen the dramatic maladaptive responses which Reese experiments perfected in mass population groups. Reese's methods were closely followed by Aldous Huxley and Bertrand Russell, Arnold Toynbee and Aleister Crowley. Bertrand Russell was particularly adept at using Tavistock principles in forming his CND, Ban the Bomb Campaign movement. Another way in which Reese dealt with the American public opinion was to persuade people to take an attitude of, quote, "What has all this got to do with us? America is different. It cannot happen here," unquote. This maladaptive response has been one of Tavistock's greatest success stories. It has got to do with us when we consider that the United States government not only handed over complete control of our armed forces to Tavistock's gurus during wartime, but in the post-war years spent billions of our tax dollars to fund Tavistock's operations designed to bring this country's thinking into line where we would accept a one-world government. Tavistock think tanks receive massive United States government funding. These think tanks conduct research experiments in mass population conditioning, of which we are the targets, unwillingly and unwittingly the target, on the receiving end of this endless warfare against us. The United States government has, since 1941, poured tens of billions of dollars into projects which cover manipulation of our mental environment, every aspect of our psychological and physiological life, in constantly and an entire battering. We come under the microscope at Tavistock's U.S. research institutions. The outcome of these experiments determine how and where we shall live in the present and near future, how we will react to stressful situations in our national life, how our collective thinking can be channeled, quote from Tavistock Manual, in the right direction, unquote. We, the American people, have been and are being studied, profiled, dissected, thought read, and put into computer data banks for ongoing and future research. The computerizing of your soul is what has happened and is happening, as foretold by Brzezinski in his New Age book, The Technotronic Era. What Brzezinski predicted in his 1970 book has become a reality. Read the book and then, as I have done, compare it with recent events, both national and international, and you will see exactly what I mean. Like it or not, Brzezinski predicted that we would have no privacy at all. Every detail about us would be subject to instant recall. Population control as never before. Never thought possible before the advent of Reese and Tavistock. There is no privacy for citizens today. If you believe there is privacy, then you are on the wrong track and you need to realign your thinking. We are under surveillance such as could not have been imagined a few years ago. Things I am writing about now would have been considered science fiction. Tavistock Institute was commissioned by the Committee of 300 to establish the Club of Rome, first reported by me in 1982, and copied, shamelessly copied, since then by almost every newsletter in the country. The Club of Rome established the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, as a political, let me underline that, political alliance. And remember, I wrote this in 1983. Now, in 1990, we discover that NATO is a political organization, more so than a military alliance. Tavistock supplied and still supplies all key personnel at NATO, as well as documentation and position papers which make up NATO policies. In other words, Tavistock controls NATO. The United States doesn't, nor do any of the European nations. Both the Club of Rome and NATO have had the utmost influence over what passes for United States foreign and domestic policy. When the Second World War broke out, the United States was subjected to pre-planned brainwashing campaigns of a massive nature and of massive proportions, prepared at Tavistock Institute to pave the way for United States entry into the war by convincing America that Germany, not the Soviet Union, was a menace to world peace. We see the same thing today. President Bush is trying to convince this nation that Iraq is the enemy, when in fact Iraq isn't the enemy at all. A large number of U.S. social scientists were selected for special training in Kurt Lewin's typological psychology methods at Tavistock, after which they returned to the United States to spearhead the drive to force America into the war. Typological psychology is still the most advanced method of behavior modification, i.e. brainwashing. That was what this group of social scientists were taught at Tavistock. Unhappily, today in 1990, these methods are being used only too successfully and applied in the rush to war against Iraq. The whores, the prostitutes in Washington, the treasonous, treacherous spokesmen for the one world government use typological psychology against us. Bush, Baker, Haig, Cheney, those in Congress who fawn all over them and lick their boots, they are brainwashing us to believe that President Hussein is a monster who wants to corner and control world oil supplies. Yet the real danger to peace, is being ignored. Appeals to rally around the flag in the early stages of World War II were pure Reese typological psychology, and they worked. We responded to the big drum of, quote, patriotism, unquote. We believed the myth that Hitler was a madman bent on ruling the world. In this way, attention was diverted away from the real enemy, the Soviet Bolshevik communists. We whipped ourselves up into a frenzy of hatred against Germany. We believed our controllers were right. We stood by while our sons were shipped off to their deaths in a foreign war in which we had no reason to participate. Immediately after Winston Churchill became Prime Minister of Britain, he began breaking all rules of civilized conduct in war. Churchill, acting on theoretician Crossman's advice, adopted Tavistock's plan for terror bombing of purely civilian targets. Churchill gave orders to the Royal Air Force, the RAF, to attack Fribourg, an undefended city on the list of such cities which it was agreed by France, Britain and Germany would not be bombed. Tavistock told Churchill that mass terror bombing would bring Germany to its knees. The decision to use terror bombing, taken by Churchill very early into the war, amounts to a war crime of the greatest magnitude. Churchill bombed Fribourg without consulting France. 300 women, children and elderly men died in that raid. It was the first departure from civilized conduct in the Second World War, and the British government was to blame. The policy of terror bombing of civilian housing was developed by Kurt Lewin, whose hatred of Germany knew no bounds. Lewin was the father of the Strategic Bombing Survey, a deliberately designed work to indiscriminately kill civilians. German army casualties were far exceeded by civilian deaths as a result of bomber Harris's nightly raids over every major city in Germany. This gives the lie to the propaganda that the British began to bomb German cities only after the Luftwaffe raided London several times. Churchill was a master liar, a consummate liar, and with the help of Tavistock, he was able to persuade the world that Germany started civilian bombing. Churchill's bulldog image was created at Tavistock. They also, by the way, created such people as Mick Jagger and the Beatles, Paul McCartney and John Lennon. Churchill's true character was more like that of a Tasmanian devil. The brutal bombing of Dresden, a declared open, undefended city, which took more lives than the bombing of Hiroshima, was a cold-blooded decision taken by the great man to impress his friend Joseph Stalin. There was absolutely no reason to bomb Dresden, other than because it was selected by Kurt Lewin for such barbaric savagery. The bombing of Dresden, in my view, is the most heinous war crime committed in the Second World War. Yet because we are so conditioned and brainwashed by Tavistock's propaganda, not a murmur of protest was heard. The real war criminals, Churchill, Roosevelt, Stalin, and Bomber Harris of the Royal Air Force, got away with their crimes. The fact is that after Freiburg, the RAF began to bomb purely civilian locations in Berlin. For 8 weeks, the RAF carried out daily raids on Berlin, which caused heavy damage and the loss of thousands of lives. All appeals by Hitler to Churchill to stop terror bombing of civilians fell on deaf ears. It was only then that the Luftwaffe began its raids on London, which were mild by comparison with what Bomber Harris was doing to German cities. Early in the war, and in preparation for United States entry, Tavistock began setting up an organization it called the OSS, forerunner of the Central Intelligence Agency, which to this day, in 1990, is under the direction and control of Tavistock. It is doubtful whether the American people knew just how much control over our military and intelligence services was being exercised by the Tavistock gurus. It is probably safe to say that we still don't know about the very large measure of control over what passed for United States policies back then, and it didn't stop at the end of the Second World War. The Malvinas-Falkland Island War was a Tavistock creation, and it was calculated that America would win the war for the British, which is precisely what happened. We trampled on the Monroe Doctrine and broke the Treaty of Rio, even though we had no hemisphere treaty with Britain. Our betrayal of Argentina was one of the more gross acts of perfidy committed by President Reagan, in which snake in the grass Alexander Haig, a modern-day Benedict Arnold, if ever there was one, played the lead role. To return to Rees's earlier work at Tavistock, which involved mass experiments using 80,000 British Army soldiers. After a five-year program of brainwashing these men, Rees was sure that he could give mass groups of people, quote, treatment, unquote, they neither wanted nor desired, without the participants being aware of it. When questioned about the propriety of his actions, Rees said it was not necessary to first obtain permission from people before commencing his treatment. The modus operandi developed by Rees and his Tavistock gurus proved to be successful. These methods are widely used in America today in 1990. We are tampered with, our opinion manufactured for us, all without our permission. What is the purpose of these behavior modifications? It is to bring about changes that we do not want, without us even being aware of what is happening. To accomplish his goals, Rees built up what he called, and I quote, an invisible army of shock troops, unquote, which were to be dispersed throughout communities all across America, their purpose being to condition people to accept changes. Those words are taken from a Tavistock manual. At this point, would you please turn your tape over for a continuation of the program? Tavistock's Esalen Institute at Big Sur in California trained large numbers of shock troops who used Tavistock methods to change America's thinking about drugs, rock music, pornography, lesbianism, homosexuality, patriotic loyalty, Christianity, nuclear power, the environment, and so forth. W.R. Byron was given charge of this project because he was a recognized authority of Leaderless Groups, another of Tavistock's projects. Eric Trist, an authority on brainwashing and public opinion making, joined Tavistock in 1940. Trist gained fame or notoriety through his hypnosis experiments on hapless, unwilling patients in British hospitals. Rees drew on his expertise gained in the Second World War, where he had complete control of the British Army Psychological Warfare Department. Many foreigners were enrolled in this unit, including Henry Kissinger. From his best students, Rees formed what he called, and I quote, "my first team," unquote, to become the first level of his invisible college graduates who were placed in key positions in the British Army, in Parliament, and later in Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force, SHAFE. These first team members fully controlled Eisenhower, who was no more than a puppet in their hands. First team members were insinuated into every policy-making body in the United States of America. They made our policies, no question about it. The secret team were the ones responsible for the public execution of President John F. Kennedy. Kissinger was one of many first team operatives placed in positions of authority. H.V. Dix had men in every key position in British intelligence, the OSS and the FBI, of one of whom was Tavistock-trained Canadian Mortimer Bloomfield, who ran FBI Division 5, counterintelligence, throughout the war. Tavistock conducted wartime experiments that would not have been possible in peacetime, and with knowledge thus gained, tightened its grip on the United States and British military establishments and intelligence services. We in America are still feeling the effects of Tavistock's evil methods, which have changed our American way of life forever. When this truth is recognized by the majority, when the war against every facet of our lives is comprehended, only then will we be in a position to fight back. By 1942, the command structure of British and United States military and intelligence services had become so enmeshed that they could not be separated, which gave rise to the many weird and strange policies our government followed, most of which were in direct contradiction to what our citizens wanted. At the close of the war, Tavistock set up NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, as I indicated earlier herein. A number of carefully profiled senior military and political persons were invited to attend a conference chaired by Rees. Here is some of what Rees said, taken from confidential notes made by one of the participants and made available to me through my intelligence contacts. Quote, "If we propose to come out in the open and attack the national and social problems of our day, then we must have shock troops. These cannot be provided by psychiatry-based wholly on institutions. We must have mobile teams of psychiatrists who are free to move around and make contact with local situations in particular areas. In a world driven completely mad, groups of psychiatrists linked to each other, capable of influencing the political and governmental field, must be the arbiters, the power cable." Could anything be clearer? Rees was advocating the formation of trained teams from his invisible college, free from all legal restraints, who could be moved into any area which needed to be made ill or sick by his reverse psychology techniques. Any community that might be capable of resisting mass brainwashing, these first teams would be accompanied by shock troops. We see Rees's ideas being put into practice today in the field of so-called environmental concerns. The EPA is a dangerous monster, created by Tavistock. Things like ecology, abortion, and homosexuality are Cathar doctrines. The Cathars sprang from the Bogomils of Bulgaria, the original buggers, homosexuals. Catharists eschew contact between men and women. They regard children as an abomination, the fruits of sin. Many of the so-called royal families of Europe were cathars, which accounts for rampant homosexuality amongst British royalty. Abortion is a cathar doctrine. Placing environment above the needs of man is yet another cathar doctrine. Not by accident, environmentalist spokesman and chief proponent is Prince Philip, husband of the Queen of England. Rees incorporates all these cathar doctrines into his teachings. That is why today we are suffering a terrible degradation of human life through abortion, homosexuality and lesbianism, a gross disregard for the teachings of Christ, debasement of our literature, music and art, the destruction of the family as the most important unit in our society, proliferation of drugs, degraded national pride. These are the bitter fruits of Tavistock policies implanted in our society. Invisible college graduates are members of mediation boards, school boards, labor relations boards, trade unions, the military, the Congress, the church, to the degree where in-house Tavistock graduates have seized control over policy making in local, state, and federal government. None of this would have been possible without the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. Rees and his Tavistock colleagues succeeded beyond their greatest expectations in capturing the major institutions of this land. Tavistock's creator, the Committee of 300, must be delighted. The 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen, is a meaningless holiday. There is no longer any independence to celebrate. What the American colonists succeeded in doing in 1776 is now almost totally negated. The candidates we vote for at election time are already selected for us by Tavistock, which it does through its far-flung network of opinion-making institutions, commonly known as opinion polls. Tavistock's chief pollster is Yankelovich Scallion White, run by Daniel Yankelovich, who is a graduate of the Tavistock Institute and a top member of its invisible college. Through Yankelovich and those like him, we are told how to vote and why we should vote in the manner chosen for us. No matter how we may delude ourselves, candidates for political office are chosen for us at all levels of local, state, and federal government. How else can we account for some of those found in Congress today? Why would anyone vote for Barney Frank unless conditioned to accept his blatant homosexuality? Witness the case of James Earl Carter and President Bush. Carter came from obscurity to the White House. Some will say, well, that proves that the American system works. If we believe this, then we have indeed fallen victim to Tavistock's brainwashing. It does not prove that the system works. That is exactly the maladaptive response Tavistock has profiled us to make. What it does prove is that we will vote for candidates selected for us. Nobody in his right mind wanted skull and bones man George Bush as vice president, yet that is what we got. Nobody in his right mind wanted George Bush in the White House, yet that is what we got, and we are going to pay a very heavy price for that. How did Carter reach the highest office in the land? Tavistock instructed Dr. Bourne, its in-house social psychologist, to find the right candidate for the job. Bourne suggested Carter. It was as simple as that. Once Carter was given, quote, the treatment, and we were saturated with the brainwashing media campaign to accept him, it wasn't even necessary to hold an election. Carter was a Rees success story. George Bush is a Tavistock success story. Rees continued to expand Tavistock by recruiting Derwin Cartwright, whose speciality was measuring population reaction to food shortages. Please pay close attention to that, because food shortage is going to be the weapon of the future. Rees has prepared special reports on this for Tavistock, which will be used by the One World Government when the food weapon is brought into play after the international food cartel has cornered production and distribution of the world's food resources. Famine is a weapon of war, and it will be used at some not too distant future date. Ronald Lippert was another specialist recruited by Rees. Lippert's expertise is tinkering with the minds of children. Lippert is an ex-OSS agent and a theoretician in race mixing. Once installed by Tavistock, Lippert set up the first Commission on Community Interrelations, a sophisticated think tank to look into ethnic and cultural assimilation problems and how to break down natural racial barriers. It was this Tavistock think tank which provided most of the rationale for Martin Luther King's civil rights movement. Busing was a Lippert project. Following the success of his first institution, Lippert established three more: the Science Policy Research Institute, the Institute for Social Research, and the National Training Laboratories. The Science Policy Research Unit placed thousands of its graduates in top positions in every West European government and in key United States government positions also. The Institute for Social Research trained thousands of upper-level executives of some of America's biggest corporations. The National Training Laboratory gained control of the 2-million-member National Education Association and wrote every single one of its policy and training programs, which gave us the monstrous open classroom failed policy. What did these three institutions have in common? They all taught Tavistock's brainwashing methods. The United States government funded and sent its top administrators and policymakers to these institutions dedicated to the destruction of our way of life. Stanford Research Center was and still is a preeminent Tavistock institution. One of its chief instructors was Dr. Willis Harmon, who ran a staff of 23 top brainwashing specialists. It was this Tavistock team of brainwashers who wrote the report URH 4892150, Policy Report 4-4-74, which later became The Age of Aquarius Conspiracy, allegedly a best-selling book written by Marilyn Ferguson. Tavistock had a profound influence on NASA. As a result of Tavistock's special report written by Dr. Anatole Rappaport for the Club of Rome on the United States Space Program, Tavistock hosted a seminar in May of 1967 to which only carefully profiled delegates from the top echelons of business and government of the industrial nations were invited. From the United States came members of the Foreign Policy Institute. The State Department sent Age of Aquarius conspirator Zbigniew Brzezinski. The final report issued by this Tavistock-controlled gathering stated that the vast technological and scientific progress made by the United States with particular regard to NASA was, and I quote, inappropriate and must be stopped immediately. Chairman Aurelio Pecci added, and I quote again, I demand that America bring its NASA space program to an immediate halt. End of quote. We did just that. NASA space program funding was gutted. NASA lay dormant for 9 years, enough to give Soviet scientists the time needed to catch up with us. Rappaport's special report, later published in Tavistock's Journal of Human Relations, said that NASA was producing far too many skilled people, too many scientists and engineers who would not be needed in the small and beautiful post-industrial society mandated by the Club of Rome. Dr. Rappaport called our scientists and engineers at NASA, and I quote, redundant, unquote. The United States government, which I have already proved has been under Tavistock's thumb for decades, reacted to Tavistock's orders. NASA funding was cut off and the agency gutted. Interference with NATO, with NASA, is a perfect example, one of many, of what British control of our policies has achieved in America. Another prime Tavistock facility is the Aspen Institute of Colorado, run by Robert Anderson. Robert S. Anderson received his Tavistock brainwashing education at the University of Chicago, which teaches that a return to the monarchy by the United States is the most desirable goal anyone could work for. Both Catherine Graham of the One World Washington Post newspaper and Charles Percy, former senator, were classmates of Anderson. We should see, and as we shall see, another Tavistock graduate, John Nesbitt, is cut from the same cloth. Nesbitt regularly holds control pattern Tavistock seminars, promoting the monarchy ideas among top businessmen who patronize his seminars. Anderson is enslaved by British royalty and follows the Catharist teachings on, quote, ecology, unquote. Ecology today is one of the biggest rip-offs operating in America. Anderson's seminars, attended by notables like George Bush and Margaret Thatcher, duplicate Tavistock's brainwashing techniques. These seminars are attended by leading corporate and banking executives, and the two-week course is one of the best examples I know of expanded brainwashing taking place in this country. Anderson follows the classic Tavistock pattern of going after targeted groups. One of Aspen's specialists is environmental training, which is a Catharist program. This section of Aspen was funded by Anderson himself to start with, but now receives donations from some of the world's leading anti-industrial zero-growth proponents, including Fiat's Agnelli and the British royal family. One of Anderson's achievements was founding Friends of the Earth, a militant ecology movement. He is also the founder of the United Nations Conference on Environment. Aside from Aspen Institute, Anderson is president and chief executive officer of Atlantic Richfield Company, ARCO. On ARCO's board of directors are the following Tavistock-trained notables. Jack Conway. Conway is a labor specialist associated with the United Way Appeal Fund and the director of the notorious Ford Foundation, which generously funds many anti-American activities around the world. Conway is a director of Center for Change, a Tavistock shock troops clearinghouse. Philip Hawley. Hawley is chairman of the Los Angeles company Hawley and Hale, which interfaces with Transamerica, the company specializing in making anti-Christian, anti-family, pro-abortion, pro-homo, lesbian, pro-drug, pro-violence movies. Hawley is involved with Bank of America, which funds the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions, a classic Tavistock-engineered brainwashing think tank promoting drugs. Dr. Joel Fort. Fort is a British national who runs the Observer newspaper, along with the Honourable David Astor and Sir Mark Turner of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the RIIA, whose American servant is Henry Kissinger. The RIIA founded the Council on Foreign Relations, the de facto government of the United States. In May 1982, Kissinger proudly announced that Tavistock, through the RIIA, controls America. The occasion was a dinner of Royal Institute for International Affairs members. Kissinger lauded the British, as one would expect from a Tavistock-trained graduate. In his speech, Kissinger said, and I quote, "In my White House days, I kept the British Foreign Office better informed than I did the United States State Department." End of quote. New Age companies associated with Aspen are the Corning Group. Corning donated Y Plantation to Aspen as the principal training ground for New Age recruits and Tavistock shock troops. James Houghton, Corning's vice chairman, is a messenger for the Pierpont Morgan family. Morgan Guarantee and Trust on Wall Street receives daily briefings, i.e. instructions, from the Royal Institute for International Affairs in London, which are handed to the United States Secretary of State to carry out. Former Secretary of the Treasury William Fowler is part of the Corning-Aspen interface. Fowler is the chief proponent pushing for our fiscal policies to be handed over to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and for the Bank of International Settlements to head up banking in the U.S. Executive Conference Center, charged with teaching behavior modifications under the direction of Robert L. Swartz. This is a specialist training center along the lines of Esalen Institute. The Mary Biddle Duke Terrytown House in Westchester County is another such training school. Swast was at one time strongly allied with Scientology and is a former editor of Time magazine. The Executive Conference House and Terrytown House are funded by large grants from IBM and AT&T. It will be hard for Americans who do not have access to this kind of information to believe that these two well-known companies would fund brainwashing, transcendental meditation, Earhart sensitivity training, Zen Buddhism, reverse psychology, and other New Age programs designed to weaken our family ties and break down morals, mind control experiments, and even experiments with LSD. No one would ever associate IBM and AT&T with such things, but that is exactly the truth, and we need to look these facts squarely in the eye. Of course, if what I'm writing here is not true, then these companies can always sue me. But thus far, from 1983 to 1990, they have not done so. Robert Swartz spent 3 years with Tavistock's Esalen Institute as a close associate of Aldous Huxley, the man who introduced LSD to American college campuses, and Margaret Mead and her husband Gregory Bateson. From Stanford and Esalen, Swartz went to Terrytown House and, with huge grants from IBM and AT&T, opened the Executive Conference Center, the first full-time center for Age of Aquarius New Age training. The overwhelming majority of those who attended ECC seminars were top-flight corporate executives from every spectrum of commerce and industry. Thousands of upper-level managers and top executives from Fortune 500 companies with famous names paid $750 per person to attend weekend seminars conducted by Swartz and other Tavistock in-house specialists. The following companies regularly sent their executives to Fred Swartz to be brainwashed: General Foods, Chase Manhattan Bank, Matthew Bender, AT&T, IBM, American Machinist Union, CBS, Corning, Xerox, Transamerica, American Express, Citibank, Crown Zellerbach. Of course, there were many other prestigious companies who supported Fred Swartz, but I cannot include all of them owing to space limitations. One of the prestigious lecturers at this insidious college was John Nesbitt. Nesbitt owed allegiance to the House of Guelph, better known as the House of Windsor, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Milner Group, the Round Table, the Club of Rome, and Aspen Institute. Nesbitt is typical of the operatives used by the British government to influence United States policy making. Nesbitt pushed the line that it would be much better for America if we adopt the monarchy. He is a Club of Rome expert on zero-growth post-industrial feudalism, as his speeches show. Here is an example of what I mean. Addressing a group of Fortune 500 company executives, Nesbitt stated, and I quote, "The United States is moving toward a monarchy, just like in Britain, and a governing system in which Congress, the White House, and the court will be merely symbolic and ritualistic. This will constitute true participatory democracy. The American people do not care who is president. Half of them don't vote anyway. America's economy is growing away from the nation state towards smaller and smaller power centers, possibly into multiple nations. We must substitute for the national state geographical, ecological state of mind. The United States will move away from a concentration of heavy industrial activity. Auto, steel, and housing will never revive again. Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Detroit, the old industrial centers will die. We are moving towards an information society. There is and will continue to be a lot of pain, but on the whole, this economy is better off than it was a decade ago. In 1983, I wrote an article entitled Death of the Steel Industry, in which I gave details of how Etienne Davignon of the Club of Rome was given the job of destroying the United States steel industry. A lot of people were very skeptical when I said that by 1990, the steel mills in our industrial heartland would be rusting away. When I wrote that in 1993, 1983, I already had an excellent working knowledge of the Club of Rome's post-industrial zero-growth policies. 7 years later, the predictions I made in 1983 proved to be only too obviously correct. In a way, Nesbitt was as correct as I was in his predictions. We both knew that the Tavistock Institute planners had in mind for this country a post-industrial society. Since none of the captains of industry who attended Nesbitt lectures saw fit to protest or publicly criticize what was planned for America, how could I expect the great American people to believe an unknown intelligence writer's prediction? On the face of it, it just didn't seem possible back in 1983 that we should see our industrial base hopelessly eroded by 1990. Here are some of Tavistock's premier brainwashing institutions. Stanford Research Institute employs 3,300 people and has a budget of $150 million per year. MIT Sloan employs 300 people. The Systems Dynamic Group has a budget of $16 million per year. University of Pennsylvania Wharton School employs 600 people, has an annual budget of $30 million. Management and Behavioral Research employs 30 people and has an annual budget of $1.5 million. Rand Corporation employs 1,500 people and has an annual budget of $70 million. The National Training Laboratories employs 500 people and has an annual budget of $23 million. The Hudson Institute employs 120 people, has an annual budget of $5 million. Esalen Institute employs 1,500 people and has an annual budget of $400 million. That is, of course, 1983 figures, which I'm talking about. So in the United States alone, we have a Tavistock network of 10 major institutions and 400 medium institutions, with 3,000 satellite groups revolving around the major ones, employing 40,000 specialist theoreticians skilled in the science of brainwashing this nation, and funded not only by private contributions, but more sinfully by the United States government as well. Their customers include the United States government, State Department, Postal Service, Department of Defense, the U.S. Navy, the CIA, Hewlett-Packard, RCA, Crown Zelleba, Bechtel Corporation, McDonnell Douglas, Kaiser Industries, TRW, Blythe Eastman Dillon, Wells Fargo, Shell Company, and British Petroleum. I would say that the vast majority of the American people are completely unaware that war has been waged against us for the past 46 years, a war of devastating proportions, which we are losing and which will surely end with the loss of our country and our priceless heritage. The only way in which we can stand up to the war makers is to educate our people and draw upon our Christian faith to destroy the insidious power the Tavistock Institute has over this great nation. Hopefully this paper will prove to be a training manual in the hands of millions of American patriots who want to fight the enemy, but who hitherto have not known where to find that enemy. God bless America. Thank you for listening.